We're starting a new series. Tan, do we have the slide? It's called Naked and Afraid. Anyone ever seen the everyone took a deep breath. We're like, uh-oh. It's going to be okay, I promise. Anyone ever see the Discovery Channel show? It's okay if you did. The premise behind the whole thing is this, is they actually get two survivalists, and they set them in some godforsaken place, and they have to survive. So I need to kind of define what a survivalist is, because we live in the suburbs out here in New Jersey. So a survivalist, I don't know if you guys, during Snowmageddon a couple weeks back, do you remember this? I mean, we were watching CNN, and did you see that the Pennsylvania Turnpike got shut down? And people were trapped on the turnpike for 12 hours. CNN was there, and they were interviewing people. And I had to laugh so hard, because like one individual was just so serious, like, oh my gosh, we were there for 12 hours. The food was starting to run low. And I'm like, bro, it's 12 hours. You're going to be okay. I think you're going to survive, all right? So that's a different level of survival. It's like some of you, I'd love to see you dropped on an island and have it survive. Like, they would take your iPhone from you, you'd have a panic attack and die right then and there, right? Oh, it's cut off from technology or whatever. So, but these survivalists, they're legit, and it's crazy. They get dropped on this island and just, they have to survive for 21 days with no food, no clothing. I believe they get to bring one special device, like a knife or something like that. And so they do that, and they're literally naked, okay? So don't worry if you go watch it, they kind of blot everything out, do that. But so it's important that I stress that they're naked and they're not naked. You guys know the difference, right? So when you're naked, you get to wear some kind of jewelry or something like that, it's okay. But when you're naked, you got nothing. So they're like, it's not naked and afraid, it's naked and afraid. So just so we're clear on that. But when I started seeing this and them having to survive, and it kind of shows this couple naked and afraid, if you will, I immediately went to Adam and Eve. I think that's what the image kind of conjures up in our heart. And so I was drawn to Genesis chapter 1, where everything gets started for us. The word Genesis, it means beginnings. So the book of Genesis is the book of beginnings. And it's really important that you and I understand how this whole thing got started. And so I thought, let's just take the month of February and let's kind of work through the book of beginnings. And so we're going to spend some time in Genesis chapters 1 and 2 today. And so Genesis is actually, most scholars believe that it's written by Moses, right? Are you familiar with Moses? He's pretty much a big deal in the Bible. And he wrote the book of beginnings. And here's why that's significant is, see, Moses was the one who led his people out of Egypt. Do you remember that story? Like it was Jacob or Israel entered into Egypt as a family. Remember Jacob and his 12 sons? But 400 years later, they would leave Egypt as a nation, as a people, the people of God, the nation of Israel would leave Egypt after 400 years. And so Moses is going to share the story to this newly formed people, this nation, of how they began, how this whole thing got started. And here's why that's pretty important. Now picture with me, like, Moses is leading a people out that have suffered 400 years of oppression and slavery. Like so much so that God Almighty says, I've seen their misery. Like when God calls something misery, he said, I've heard the cries of my people. And so here's what's so significant. Like, have you ever prayed to God? Like, you're just going through it and you pray to God and it seems like things get worse. Like, you pray to God and you wonder, are you there? Is this just pretend? See, because they had been suffering, get this, for 400 years, and it got worse the more they cried out to God. And so Moses was going to have to bring some clarity by saying, hey, you need to understand the story that we find our life playing out in. And so we need to do the same too. So that's why I want to take you to the beginning. So my daughter Cassie, she watches the show Game of Thrones, all right? I'm not sure if you've seen this. I'm definitely not recommending you watch it, but I heard that there's dragons and swords in this. I'm like, Oh, and zombies too. So I'm like, how does this, I want to see this. And so I'm sitting with my daughter, and so I've missed the first two seasons. And so here's what I'm watching, and here's what's happening. I'm getting on my daughter's nerves. Baby, why does that person not like that person? Honey, why are the dragons only following that one girl? Like, honey, who's this Jon Snow guy? Right? And on, we're getting like, and I'm annoying her and bugging her because nothing is making sense to me because I didn't understand how the whole thing got started. And that's what Moses is going to let us know. Hey, this is going to make a lot more sense when you see how we fit into God's big story. And so Moses. As well, like, get this in your mind as we think about the initial audience, like Israel, the Hebrews were in Egypt, like the Hebrew culture, their worship, everything was assaulted on a daily basis by the Egyptian way of life. I don't know if you've thought about that before. Like your worldview and everything is continually being affected and infected by the world that surrounds you. And so the Egyptians, they worshiped everything. And when I say everything, I mean they worshiped the sun, they worshiped the moon, they worshiped the Nile. Anything that could be worshiped, they set their worship on that. And you have to think that some of that would seep in to the Hebrews that worship the one true God, that you know. For and if you don't believe me, like we're not much different than the Egyptians in our culture. We worship stuff, and we just put different names on it. All right, and so historically, I'll kind of use this as an example that beauty. Like they used to worship Aphrodite and kind of the Roman pantheon and all that, the goddess of beauty and love. Oh, please don't think she's dead. Because we still very much worship the goddess of beauty, don't we? I think we spend like $2.2 billion a year strictly, just in the United States, on skincare. Okay? And so we still worship. And then some other one like wealth and power. You guys remember 2008 when the housing market just blew up and the banking blew up and all that? You know, we had people jumping out of buildings in Manhattan. Why? Because their god of success and of money had failed them. Right, and on, we can go talk about sex and all. I continually hit that, so I won't. Let me give you some new ones, because we're about to worship in about 8 hours. People worship the god of sports. If you don't believe me, man, we gather in coliseums just like they did, and we're gonna. People are gonna lose their mind this afternoon. 117 million Americans will watch. How about this? I know more dudes that sacrifice their family and their faith so they can go worship football on Sunday. It's just the truth. And do you guys ever think that we'd have, if you can remember this, like, can you imagine, like, back in the day, I remember when they thought it was insane to have a sport. Like, how could you do 24-hour sports? Do you guys know? I mean, we have not just one network. We have ESPN, ESPN2, ESPN3, ESPN Headline News. Like, all these different things are like, it's crazy. We can't seem to get enough of it. If I haven't hit you here today, I'm going to now, okay. How about food? Like I see some people in worship, you're like, it is, well, yeah, whatever, let's get through this, right? But then we just come see you at brunch after church, man, and you just bite into that burger of yours. It's like you're making love to that thing. You're like, good, right? You're just kind of this food thing. We have food, we have a TV, we have TV networks just designated just to watch food. Oh, right? It's insanity that begins to take place. My favorite is entertainment. My daughter's all over me because I don't have the deluxe TV package. So we only get 187 channels rather than 487 channels, right? That now as a people that we have apps. Why? Because so when we're standing in line in Costco that we can be entertained and, you know, catch up on our Netflix or our series of CSI or whatever it is you're into. And so you can see, I mean, it's just crazy over and over. And I don't want you to hear me. I'm not a hater. I'm going to worship this afternoon. I'm watching the Super Bowl. I'm going to get me some good food and do all that. I just wanted to point out the fact that you got to admit it's a little strange that we're so passionate and we can't seem to get enough of these things, and yet we're so indifferent to the God who created these things, right? It says this in the book of Romans, chapter 1, verse 25. It says that they, meaning humanity, exchanged the truth of God for a lie. They worshiped and served created things rather than the Creator. See, Moses is identifying the fact that, hey, listen, we're getting a little bit off here, and our idea of who God is a little bit blurry. Let me take you back to the beginning. And he begins the book of Genesis. And so if you can imagine the people of God gathered around Moses as he begins to tell the tale of how God created everything and who he is. So Lord, give us grace today, we pray in Jesus' name. Genesis 1:1 says this, "In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth." And so there's a philosopher, theologian, a guy, Francis Schaeffer, and he says this, that Genesis 1:1 is the most pregnant sentence ever written, right? He's just saying this, that we can learn so much just by, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And here's some things that we learn. And so I want to just once again, just give us a picture on who God is. See, it says, in the beginning, God. So before there was a beginning, there was God. See, it means this, that God is eternal. Like, he has no beginning and no ending. He just always has been. And you're like, well, that's cool. Like, who cares? Well, there's some ramifications to that that should be very comforting to our soul. Like one is this, because God is eternal and he stands outside of time and sees the whole of time, that he's omniscient. Like, he knows everything. He's never surprised. He's never taken off guard. Know this too, that he's omnipresent, that he's everywhere at once. And so he's never nervous or panicked that he's not going to be there on time. He's there, okay? And so I'll put it this way. Has anyone ever seen MasterChef? You've seen the show, Gordon Ramsay and all this kind of stuff. And so we had a guy in our church in Manhattan, Luca Manfi. He was on season 4. And so Luca, he's a member of our church, he pulled me to the front after service, and he's like, hey, PA, you know, PA, that's Pastor Adam, okay, PA, hey, PA, guess what, I'm going to be on MasterChef, and I'm honestly, I just thought, oh, that's so cute, I mean, that's so great, you know, and I'm thinking, you know, good luck with that, you know, and so he goes, and he's away for 3 months, he comes back, and they tape, and then they take 3 months, it's like delayed, till they show it. And so I just thought, oh, that was great you did that. I'm sure you were on for one episode, got kicked off and went. And so I started watching, and he just kept winning and winning and winning until he got onto the grand finale. It was him. He was the finalist against another woman. And so this is going on. Luca, he's already been there and done that. He knows who won. And so, but he invited a bunch of his closest friends down in downtown Manhattan to watch the finale with him. And so we're in this pub. You remember Pastor Shino, right? Oh, that's right. You weren't invited to that, right? So I'm there, though, and we're watching this thing, and it's all up on the big screen. And Luca, he brings up his braised short ribs and sun-choked puree with some chanterelle mushrooms. And I'm like, man, that looks pretty good, but I don't know. That chick's dish is pretty good, too. And I'm like, nervous. Is this going to happen? How's Luca's going to get? Is he going to win? Is he gonna, you know who wasn't nervous? Luca. He had been there. He'd already won. Boom, Luca, you win. And everyone was surprised but him. See, that's Almighty God for you and I. That tomorrow's not something he's concerned about because he's already there. And that should be a security blanket to us, that we know that tomorrow, hey, he's got it. He's there. You don't have to stress and fret. How about this? Is that our sin? That listen, when you screw up, God's not, oh my gosh, I didn't see that coming. No, he saw it coming. In fact, 2,000 years ago, he saw it, and Jesus paid the price for it on the cross for you and I. And so the fact that he's eternal is amazing. How about this? That he's eternal, and so that should give us a grid by which to see our life, like a framework. And so this is I wish the scripture wasn't in the Bible, but it says this, that 1,000 years is as a day, and a day as 1,000 years to the Lord, right? I wish that wasn't in there, because there's times I pray for stuff and I want it now. Anybody else? Like, listen, we live in a nation of, man, you guys, we grew up with a microwave. There's some of my brethren in here, you remember, like, when a microwave, you were the bomb if you had a microwave, because before that, it was tinfoil and the oven. That we can Google stuff and in a second have all the information there is on the planet, but back when we'd have to go to the library and get an encyclopedia or do something like that, right? And so this microwave generation, we want it and we want it now, but God stands out of time, outside of time. And listen, sometimes you're going to have to wait. You know that God says, Abraham, you're going to have a kid 25 years later. Like 25 years, I want you to feel that. David, I'm anointing you as king 15 years before he would actually be king. And so we referenced Israel, 400 years of slavery until finally they were released and let go. And so, I heard Tim Keller, he's a pastor, he's much smarter than me in Manhattan. And Tim says this, he says that God answers our prayers the way we would answer our prayers if we knew what God knew. Right? That in other words, in the scope of time, God knows how to answer your prayers so it fits best in the scope of time. And so I pray that would help some of us. Do you know this, that God's not only eternal, but he's omnipotent. That means he's all powerful. That he, from nothing, in the beginning, God created everything. So from nothing, he creates everything that there is. And so I'll illustrate this way. So I have a great friend who's a cop in Brooklyn. And so I thought, you know, I'm going to take a second just to do this too. Bob, I'm so thankful for you, man. Like the cops, Bob's a cop, police officer, excuse me. But here's the thing about the cops, you know, like so many times you see on TV and this, you get one or two bad apples and it's just like, man, you just throw them all under the bus. Like I so feel for the cop. Like the cops are like God, you know, in this, that people think, oh, you're mean, you're a jerk, you're this, until they need you. Then it's like, oh, God, or it's, oh, officer, please. And so I just thank God for you, man, and not only the fact that you gave me something that helped me get out of a ticket, but anyways, that's neither here nor there. But I'm riding with my cop buddy who's in Brooklyn, and I'm in the squad car with him, and we're going, and he's getting a call, and so we got to go, and he's like, boom, cherries go on. I'm like, this is happening, man. And so we're racing down the streets of Brooklyn, and he's got the whoop, 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 and he's got like a little button he's hitting for the siren, and he's getting on the walkie-talkie for the loudspeaker. Get out of the way, boom, and the Red Sea is parting, and he has to do something, so he says, here, take the mic, and he gave me the microphone, and I'm like, pardon me, please, could you please move, please excuse me, and like, no one's moving, he goes, all right, give me that, and he goes Brooklyn on him, and everything starts opening up again, and so, but he speaks, and everybody obeys and moves, and that's who God is. That he's authority, he's got ultimate authority and power, he's omnipotent, he speaks and everything obeys him. And so, because of that, once again, this should be such a warm blanket to our soul. The fact that because he's all-powerful, that hope for us, it springs eternal. Man, like you know what, because of that, miracles are possible. Like that impossible thing you think could never happen, it can happen. Because God is omnipotent. You know this, that faith, it's not just some thing you're just kind of wishing for, but faith is rational because God can do all things. I referenced Abraham. Do you guys remember the story that Abraham was 100 years old, his wife Sarah 90, and God's like, you're going to have a kid, and guess what? They both laughed at God. You know, they're like, as if, God, I'm 100. And they actually said, shall we have pleasure? Well, guess what God's response is? Yes, you will. And sure enough, they have a kid. And I love God, what he does. He names their kid Isaac, which means laughter. See, because God gets the last laugh, because he's omnipotent. He's almighty. Here's another old pastor. His name's A.W. Tozer. He was a prolific writer and pastor. He wrote two books that are must-reads. They're classics. One is The Pursuit of God, and here's the second one, is The Knowledge of the Holy. They're little quick reads, but they're dense and deep. And so in The Knowledge of the Holy, A.W. Tozer, he says this. He says, what comes into our mind when we think about God is the most important thing about us. That what, when I mention God to you, whatever comes into your mind is crucial Because what he goes on to say is your soul will pursue that image of who God is. And so when I mention God to you and it's just just gray, just kind of this nothingness, that's not good. So you need to understand the character and the nature of God because your soul will be drawn to that. And so we can find out about what God is like, his nature and his character through his creation. That it says in Psalm 19:1, it says that the heavens declare the glory of God and the skies proclaim the work of his hands. That we can tell a lot by the Creator, by his creation. And so in Genesis chapter 1, God creates all these different things. And if you remember the story, that God creates everything in 6 days, and on the seventh day, he rested. And on here's what we can know about God's creation is this. Get this. God is good. Do you know that it says that every time when God creates, it says he would create something, and he would say it's good. He would create and it's good. 7 times he says that he created and it's good. 7 in the scriptures is the number for perfection or completion. So God is perfect in his goodness. All right. And then just for the record, here's a little side note. Do you know that every day got a good except for one day? Do you know what day that is? The second day, Monday. Could you agree with that? Monday morning, you're like, this is not good, God, right? Tuesday got 2 very goods, and so just FYI. I'll show you God's goodness. How about in the environment? So days 1 and 3 in the creation story, God creates, so he forms stuff, and then in days 4 through 6, he fills it. But we see God's goodness in that he's going to prepare the house before he lets his creatures go into it. And so we see the goodness in God that, hey, do you realize there's the right balance of oxygen and carbon? There's the right degree of sunlight and all these things that's fit for his creation, which is unbelievable. Like, aren't you glad that God didn't just, well, I hope this works, and he just throws Adam and Eve in and there's not enough oxygen, and you're like, just kind of die in that thing. And God's like, Holy Spirit, how did you allow, what, fix that, right? No, he prepared it. For us. Did you ever think about this? It's like the world is, I mean, we're spinning right now, and then we're also orbiting at the same time, and yet you and I can sit here just kind of chilled. Like some of you, like, could you imagine if God in his goodness just let this thing roll and at a different speed? And man, I'd need vomit bags in the front of the chairs. You'd be like, all that going on. So that's God's goodness. We see God's goodness in creation and the beauty of his creation. And so last year, I flew out to St. Croix, the U.S. Virgin Islands. As we're flying into this paradise, you see these green rolling hills, these islands, the blue-green ocean, and you're just like, oh my gosh, how amazingly beautiful. And then I started thinking, could you imagine being someone from St. Croix flying into Newark International Airport? Like, you'd be like, oh my gosh, the zombie apocalypse took place, right? Was there a bomb that went off that we just didn't know about? And so that's neither here nor there. But we see that God, when he creates, he says when he created the garden, it was pleasant for the eyes. That there was something that, like, it mattered to God. He's like, man, I'm going to put that tree there. I'm going to dial up some color over here. I'm going to do this because it's the goodness of God and the beauty of his creation. And so how about this? God's not only a creational, but he's relational. Did you guys see how I made that rhyme? He's creational and relational. Genesis 1:26 says this. It says, then God said, let us make man in our image. In our likeness, let them rule over the fish of the sea and the birds of the air, over the livestock, over all the earth, and over all the creatures that are on the ground. And so here's what you need to see is something very significant. If we have the text up there, it says, then God said, so there's a word, it says, let us make man. Did you know that in the Godhead, that there's an us in there? That we'd find out later in the New Testament that God is Father, Son, and Spirit. That there is a tri-unity in the God, in the Godhead. And so there's, at the center of the universe, is that there's a relationship. Because of that, like, we've always used the term that God is love. Well, if God's not Trinity, then God can't be love, right? Because before anything was, there was Father, Son, and Spirit in perfect love and unity. Therefore, God could create out of love, and God himself could be love, right? And so as image bearers of God, that we are created in his image to be in relationship just like our Creator was, because we're image bearers of God. And so the first not good we get is in Genesis 2 when he says it's not good for the man to be alone. In fact, did you guys hear just recently President Obama, that he signed off on something that youth, incarcerated youth, they had to like lower their time for solitary confinement. Because what they're finding when human beings are left alone for too long, it does emotional, psychological, and mental damage that's irreversible. And so it's suffering to be alone. And so do you see how damaging it is when you isolate yourself? Like, don't get me wrong, I'm all for solitude every now and then. I'm like, give me my alone time. Get away from me for a little while. But to isolate, it's deadly, and it damages your soul. You want to know why we always talk about connect groups? Connect groups. It's because we just believe that we all need to be in relationship with one another. It was funny. I shared this a couple weeks back, but we did a men's night out. We had Justin. He organizes. We go to different places, go eat food as dudes. And I remember we just went to Pub 199. If you haven't been there, you need to go to this place. Spectacular. And so we're hanging out as guys, and we do what guys do. We're like busting each other and making fun of each other. That's how guys show affection, ladies, just so you know. And so we're doing that thing. And then as the night rolled on, we were like, hey, what's your favorite movie? Right? And so it was funny, like, so guys were like, I remember the first guy is like, are we allowed to give the real answer? Or do I have to say the Passion of the Christ? What is it? So he's like Zoolander. And so I just thought that was so awesome, man. And then we have Ed, who's in the back. Ed goes, Titanic. And so we kicked Ed out of men's group. He's never allowed to be in men's group again. But it was funny. After all this stuff that was going on, like my belly was full, but my soul was full as well, because we had done life together. We laughed and spent some time. Things were just different. And so I want to encourage you to get in community. And how crazy is this, that the God who created everything, that this God, he wants to be in relationship with you. He wants to be in relationship with you and with me. It's interesting. That God refers to himself in Genesis chapter 2, you'll find that there's a switch. In Genesis chapter 1, God refers to himself as God. In the beginning, God. It's the Hebrew word Elohim. It's the generic word for God. However, in Genesis chapter 2, you'll see the Lord God. And suddenly, God refers to himself in a different way. The Lord God is the word Yahweh. It's the personal, relational name for Almighty God. That it's the God, like, I don't want to be the distant, just kind of the generic God, but I'm the personal God who knows and loves you. So we have, I have two daughters, and so we have relational names, okay? So Cassie is Bear. So I'm either Dad, or if she wants money from me, I'm Daddy, you know, that thing. My wife and I, we have relational names. Like, I call her, like, she's Babes or Beauty. Here's the reality. If Shino calls my wife Babes or Beauty, how many know we're going to have a problem with that? Okay? Why? Because he doesn't have that type of relationship with her. And now, does this make sense that when God says in Luke 6, why do you call me Lord, Lord, and you don't do what I say? In other words, you're pretending like we're in relationship when we're not. Matthew 7, he says this, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter into the kingdom of God. Because Jesus says later on, he says, didn't we do all these works in your name? And he says, who are you? I never knew you. See, because he desires to be in relationship with us. Did you catch what happens that God, when he formed humanity, that it says he formed him from the dust of the ground, and it says that he breathed on him, into him, the breath of life. So I don't know how you guys roll, but see, the idea that God breathed into humanity is an unbelievable sign of intimacy. that God, he forms the man, he breathes in him. Have you ever, I don't know if you guys are like this, just FYI for future, maybe this is just me, but like this is my space right here, okay? So any space invaders in here, or do we know space invaders? Like if we do, number one, quit it, okay? And number two, just realize like this is like my space in here. However, there are some people that I invite into that space, my mother and my father, my daughters and my wife, occasionally my golden retriever, okay? So don't judge me on that. But we can see that space is designed for intimacy. And when we hear the idea of God breathing on you, his breath, that speaks to his closeness, that he wants you in some place that's unique and distinct over the rest of the creation, the breath of God. Do you know what Jesus does on the day that he resurrects? He sees his disciples and it says this, he breathed on them. That he invited them into relationship and closeness. And so I'm gonna end with this. I'm gonna call Kim to come on up, but I wanted to hear this, to share this with you. So when you're dialed into the game, right? And I don't know if you're watching the commercials or what you're kind of in it for, but when you watch, occasionally when they kick an extra point, you're gonna see someone holding up a sign, John 3:16. And it's this, it's for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son that whosoever believed in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Like, is this unbelievable that this mighty, all-powerful, all-loving God that he wants to know us? And that despite the fact that when we miss it, that we're indifferent towards him, he still sent his son to make a way that we might be forever joined with him in intimacy and relationship. Here's the reality. So for the record, happy Black History Month. This is Black History Month, and there's a new movie out. Have you seen this, Jesse? It's the Jesse Owens story, the great Olympian. And Jesse Owens, there's this one clip, I gotta see the movie, because he says this, he's talking about the fact that he says, on that track, when you're out there, he says, there ain't black and white. He says, there's just fast and slow. And do you know that that's the reality for us is in this room today, there's no such thing as sinner and saint. There's just sinner and a sinner that's received grace from Almighty God. And I just, there's some of you that I want you to receive God's grace and his relationship. So could we do this with every head bowed here this morning? I just want to give an opportunity for you that if you don't know Jesus Christ this morning, this is your moment, that this is God, the God who created everything, extending his hand to you. And so if you'd like to know Jesus this morning, would you just lift up your hand? And I'd just like to pray over you real quick. We won't be long. No one else is looking. This is just between you and the Lord. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Anyone else? This is your moment. Okay, you can put your hands down. And so, Father, I thank you that you see, Lord, the hands that went up. Lord, and I thank you that you're the good God. Lord, you're the God who can be known, that you're Yahweh, the God who loves relationship. And so, Lord, I thank you that you're coming now. Lord, I pray by the power of the Holy Spirit that you're sealing into the heart and the lives the Holy Spirit of God, that God would not just be with you, but he would be in you. We thank you. We trust you for all these things. God bless us. Give us grace today and let the Broncos win. In Jesus' name, amen.